I call this meeting to order. A quorum is present. The committee legislative assistant will take committee roll call.
Representative Jean.
Present.
Representative Brand.
Here.
Representative Baker.
Here.
Representative Becker Finn.
Present.
Representative Fraser. Representative Fraser. Representative Patan.
Present.
Representative Hemmingson Yeager.
Here.
Representative Ryer.
Present.
Representative Sensor Murrah. Representative Harder.
Here.
Representative Nelson.
Present.
Representative Wines.
Weens, here.
Weens. Sorry about that.
Thank you.
Representative Zelaznikar.
Way to go. Here.
That is it.
Okay, a roster of the committee members and staff is available in your folders today, so we can go down on the list and have everyone introduce themselves. So I am Representative Jay Song. I proudly represent the southeast corner of the city of St. Paul, and I've had the fortune of serving somewhat in this committee within the last 4 years, and I'm looking forward to working with all of y'all. Vice Chair Brand.
Good morning, everyone. Jeff Brand from St. Peter, Minnesota. I represent District 18A. I'm also happy to be here as well. I'm looking forward to the work that we can do for the workforce of tomorrow here in Minnesota. Thanks for having me.
Lead Baker.
Mr. Chair, thank you. Dave Baker from District 16B, which is also known as most of Candiway County, straight west of Minneapolis. I'm a small business guy. I have about 40 employees of my own. So this committee hits home for me. We've got a lot of work to do to help job creators keep employees, find better ways to, customize their products to their employees so we have a robust workforce. So I have looking forward to the work ahead of us and our team. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Chair Becker Finn.
Thank you, Chair Zhang. Jamie Becker Finn, District 40B, which is most of Roseville and half of Shoreview. And this is my fourth term, but my first time on one of the committees dealing with these accounts. But I opened a small business last year, and I only have 10 employees. Interacting with the system in a whole new way, and really excited to be on this committee under your leadership, Chair Zhang.
Representative Harder.
Hi, I am Bobby Harder, and I represent District 17B, which is most of Sibley County and the western part of Carver and the eastern part of McLeod. Thank you for having me.
Chair Hassan.
Good morning. Odin Hassan, representing District 62B in South Minneapolis. This is my third time, and I'm happy to be here.
Good morning. Amanda Hemmingson Yeager, representing 47A, which is the communities of Southern Maplewood and Woodbury. Just excited to be here for my first term. Thanks.
Representative Nelson.
Hi, good morning. Representative Nathan Nelson, and I'm from 11B. That's most of Pine County, part of Kennebec County, and a little bit of Chisago County. And I'm a farmer and a small business person myself.
Representative Ryer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Liz Ryer. I represent 52A, which is parts of Egan and Burnsville. I've spent my career in the corporate world, hiring manager and team leader, and also I'm an executive coach working with people on their workforce visions for themselves and working with teams in that capacity. I am really happy to be here. Thank you.
Representative Weens.
Mark Weens. I represent 41A, which is in Washington County. It's very near Hemmingson Yeager's area. I'm looking forward to working with you all to do workforce things and good for Minnesota. Thank you.
Representative Zelaznikar.
Thank you. I'm Natalie, Representative Zelaznikar, and I grew up on a farm
in St. Francis, and for the last 40 years I've served seniors, started as a nursing assistant, which is at the front of my heart because we have a huge crisis in nursing homes, assisted livings, in every community. So I've been a CNA, and I've been a nursing home administrator for 30 years. 20 years ago, I became an entrepreneur and a business owner and created an alternative for my grandma to care for her through end of life, and we are all facing this. So I'm here to help serve northern Minnesota and the state to create jobs. When we have jobs, we all have opportunities for ourselves and for our families. And so this is near and dear to my heart, getting regulations in line. Nursing homes are being fined after, you know, years of COVID and policies set by the state of Minnesota, funding set by the state of Minnesota, and we're paying horrific fines in settings that is tragic to me. So we're going to have them close really at no fault of their own. So I'm excited to find solutions for business owners and for citizens in Minnesota. Thank you.
Thank you. And next we'll have our staff introduce themselves, so starting with Mr. Reese.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm Travis Reese. I am the committee administrator for this committee, as well as the Economic Development Committee with Chair Hassan, and then the Labor Committee with Chair Nelson. So I am in the jobs sphere all around. I've been in the legislature since 2008. I've done a lot of different jobs since that time. I'm happy to be here. I've been on the jobs and labor area. Now this is now my third iteration of these committees, so I'm happy to be back. I live in South Minneapolis. I have three kids, so if I'm not here, I'm with them. So thank you, everybody. Looking forward to working with everyone.
I see that Representative Samantha Sensenmura just came in, so you want to quickly introduce yourself.
Hi, good morning. Samantha Sensenmura. I'm the new state representative from District 63A, South Minneapolis. I'm excited to be on this committee. My interest in workforce comes from my work for 11 years in education. I care deeply about making sure that the young people in our community are prepared to enter the 21st century workforce.
Next is Mr. Vu.
Hi, everyone. My name is Banzi Vu. I'm the CLA for Representative or Chair Zhang, and also I'm the LA for the new member, Representative Ethan Cha.
Ms. Shalom.
Chair and members, my name is Anna Shaleen. I am the nonpartisan House researcher staffing the subject area and have been for the last 7 years. I am also the researcher for the Economic Development Committee.
Mr. Chair and members, my name is Ashley Eng. I'm the nonpartisan fiscal staff. I staff Workforce Committee, Climate and Energy, and Commerce.
Mr. Chair and members, my name is Marta James from House Research. I staff the Labor Committee, but I will also be here covering unemployment issues. Thank you.
Mr. Sullivan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is David Sullivan. I'm with DFL Research. I've been in the House for 16 years, and I think I've staffed the jobs committees that entire time, going all the way back to Representative Rukavina.
And Ms. Peterson.
My name is Casey Peterson. I'm the House Republican researcher for this committee and for Commerce.
All right. So today our agenda is... On the agenda, number five, we have House File 27 from Representative Listegard. And I'll move that House File 27 be referred to the Ways and Means Committee. We also have a DE3 author's amendment. I will move the adoption of the DE3 amendment. Any immediate questions? Otherwise, we will adopt this amendment to get the bill in the shape that the author prefers. All those in favor of adopting the DE3 amendment for House File 27, say aye.
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 Opposed, say nay. Motion carries. The amendment is adopted. Now we have the bill before us as amended. Representative Listegard, please explain your bill.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members. First, I'd like to give you a little background of who I am. I am Dave Listegard, and I represent 7B from the Iron Range. And I'm very proud to come from the Iron Range. It is a very unique place with hard-working men and women that work in the mining industry. That is the core industry of where I come from. And there's a lot of ups and downs in this industry, and when there is downs, it's extremely detrimental to the region as a whole. There are six mines that are across the Iron Range, and when one of them goes down, it affects not just the employees, it affects the region as a whole, with small businesses, everything. So we had this up last year. They lost North Shore Mining, went down, I believe it was in May. They got their unemployment, and as of November, they are no longer have any money coming in. And it's personal to me because, as you can imagine, I know many people that are there. I have family members that are laid off. And it's something that I think that we as a state have an opportunity to help these people, and that's why we're here. I wish that we could have helped them in a special session. That didn't happen last year, but we're getting it done right away. We did amend it to match up with the Senate, so we can expedite this as quick as possible. I am not an expert in UI. I know some have more information than others. Marta has been extremely helpful in educating me and helping shape this so it is where it needs to be. So if it's okay, Mr. Chair, if Marta could run down the technical part of the bill.
Please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. So I'm going to go over the provisions in the DE3 amendment to House File 27. So this bill would provide additional unemployment benefits to eligible unemployed iron ore mining workers and also workers in an explosive manufacturing industry. It's my understanding that this will primarily affect two employers, Cleveland-Cliffs and Dyno Noble. And I believe the fiscal note has the number, but it's about 490 employees. To be eligible for this program, 50% or more of their wage credits need to be with one of those eligible employers, and they must have been unemployed or laid off between April 3rd, 2022 and March 4th of 2023. They would first need to exhaust their regular UI benefits. Typically, if eligible, you could receive 26 weeks of regular UI benefits. Once those have been exhausted, then assuming that they qualified, they would receive up to an additional 26 weeks of additional benefits under this bill. These would be available until January 27th of 2024. And to be eligible, you, like I said, need to work for one of those employers and also meet the requirements under existing UI law. Like I said, the maximum number of weeks for this benefit is 26 weeks, and this would be at their regular UI amount, typically up to 50% of their wages. Subdivision 4 is a pretty technical provision. It just indicates that if someone qualifies for a new regular benefit account who is eligible for this additional benefits, they would need to establish that benefit account and clarifies when they would either seek regular benefits under that new account or would seek additional benefits under this bill. Subdivision 5 details the charging of benefits, and this is depends on the employer. So for Clause 1 of Subdivision 1, which is my understanding is Cleveland-Cliffs, they will see an impact to their UI tax rate for employees who take these additional benefits. They will not be charged to they will not affect the tax rate for Dyno Noble, which is Subdivision 1, Clause 2. That means that their experience rating would not go up. To the extent that any reimbursing employers are impacted by these benefits, they also would not be charged. And then finally, Subdivision 6 is a provision related to federal benefits. It clarifies that if a worker qualifies for the Federal Trade Readjustment Allowance benefits, they couldn't also receive these benefits. These benefits will be available retroactively from August 14th of 2022. Happy to answer any questions.
Representative Lissigard.
Boy, that was easy. Yeah. I have John Arbogast here to testify, if that's okay, Mr. Chair.
Please identify yourself for the record and proceed.
Thank you, Chairman. My name is John Arbogast. I am the District 11 staff representative for the United Steelworkers. What that fancy title means that I represent the labor contracts, the day-to-day union activities for 5 out of the 6 mines in northern Minnesota. So the 6th mine is North Shore, and I don't represent the North Shore workers, so some people might think, well, why is the union staff representative here to testify on their behalf? Well, in the Iron Range, basically, we're one big small family. Miners are miners. Like Representative Lislegar said, we all have family members, brothers, sisters, fathers, mothers, sons, daughters that work at the North Shore Mine in Silver Bay and Babbitt. So what's going on since this layoff? We've probably got approximately between 75 and 100 of those miners have moved down to the southern part of the range and found jobs at the other facilities. United Tech, Knight and Eveleth has approximately 40. The other mines have about 10. We believe that there's approximately 50 other miners that have taken jobs with, say, the city of Eveleth or any of their municipalities. The problem is, what happens if North Shore has a proposed startup in April? 100 to 200 workers out of 500, how do you find those replacements on Iron Range? It's very hard. It's hard to find people to work in the mines in the crafted fields as it is. There's a nationwide shortage on crafted workers, millwrights, electricians, machinists, diesel mechanics. But another adverse effect of these 100 plus people moving into the mines down to the south is not every kid wants to graduate from high school and go to a 4-year college institution. Kids go to the VOTEC on the range. You know, the Iron Range is people that are historically work with their hands, farmers, you know, outdoorsmen. So they're going to Mesabi Range College, Hibbing Community College, getting a 2-year degree, become a craftsperson. So now, with North Shore being closed and these workers with no hope and running out of money, they've already ran out of money, those sons and daughters graduating from high school or VOTEC, those job openings are now being absorbed by these laid off workers. If we could stop the bleeding with this unemployment extension, then there's a little hope where you don't have to run down to the southern part of the range. You know that you can pay your mortgage and your bills. You know, we don't know for sure, but we're pretty confident there is a light at the end of the tunnel in April, and this will stop that bleeding. And we don't want people to leave Minnesota, because, you know, that's what else could happen. We want those job openings down in the Mintex, the UTEX, the HIPTEX, all those mines for the next generation of people that want to live on Iron Range, not necessarily move out of the Iron Range. So it's very important that we get this done as quickly as possible so we can not have all these people leave. We can have North Shore start back up in April, because it is, and hearing isn't very easy. I've heard, you know, a lot of you are small business owners. Going through the mines, it's several months to go through all the background checks, you know, everything that takes to get hired in the mines. So it's very important that we get this, that we help these families out, that we don't have people leaving the Iron Range, the North Shore. And it's more devastating up in northern Minnesota than it would be down in the metro community, because that's all we have. Logging is pretty much gone. Tourism, that's not quite a middle class income type of job, unless you're, you know, the business owner or whatever. So I'd appreciate you helping these miners out, and thank you for your time. Any questions?
Thank you for your testimony. Chair Lissigar, do you have any other testifiers? Any members of the public want to testify? Seeing none, questions or comments from members? Lee Baker.
Mr. Chair, thank you, and Representative Lisgard, thanks for bringing this forward to us. I mean, I know that we have dealt with these kinds of bills before. When we have a specific industry like our Iron Range folks have, very specific, we can't you know, we as a state need to step in and kind of rally around those folks to keep them there. And 50% if unemployment is what it is, that's not what they want either. But it's something to get them kind of at least being able to keep the lights on, as this great testifier that you brought today shared. Again, what I, as an employer myself, the unemployment insurance fund, the tax or the insurance trust fund, if I can be more clear, is a really good program that has worked here for a number of years for Minnesotans, for unemployed. It, you know, the tax ratings for a business. So again, my business pays into that fund. I rarely ever use it because we're lucky. We don't have the seasonal changes or the global effects like the mining industry does, where all of a sudden you just, there's no demand for it and you don't have any choice but to shut down. I'm lucky. I'm in the tourism industry, and it's actually a pretty good paying job for a lot of our folks because they make a lot more money than I do sometimes because they've got very generous customers that are tipping very well. My point is this system is a good balance. I'm happy to support this today. We've got to get our folks up in northern Minnesota back to work, and this is just a way that we can do this. And in again, this is socializing it with everybody around the state of Minnesota. My business will help continue to pay for this in my payroll tax funds and my unemployment you know, payments. And I think this is a part of how we can share in that. There comes a point later on in our committee discussions where this will have to be really thought about hard before we start adding on a lot more payroll taxes, mandates, things like that, that will cause undue pressure on businesses like mine that are, you know, today are happy to help. We're getting to a point where we are paying our employees, our hardworking employees, as much as we can. So these are the kind of things that we as this committee has to be very open and honest and transparent about, where we kind of start to say we are getting to be too heavy in this area, and we can't be non-competitive with our neighboring states and so on. So, Mr. Chair, I just want to say that again, I'm happy to work on this. I did have a question. However, I'm confused, and maybe this comes from either the author of the bill or possibly nonpartisan staff. I think it was Marta that said this, but there's Cleveland Cliffs, there's North Shore Mining, I think, involved. I know there was a dino company, and I think I know what they are. They're the explosive companies, and sounds like a fun company to work for. But help me understand that the Cleveland Cliffs and the Lake, was it North Shore Mining? Are the two companies, is there two companies? One company is one apparent company? I just want to understand that a little bit better.
Sure, Mr.
Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative Baker. So you're talking about Dyno, the blasting company, and then you have North Shore Mining. So how it is the mining process is in Babbitt, or the mine is in Babbitt, right? And then the processing plant is in Silver Bay. And then you have another, you have vendors that support all the mines. And so you have this company that is a wonderful company that their job is to go in there and blast. Well, they can't blast if the mine is shut down. Mm-hmm. So those individuals, I believe there are five direct, they were laid off when the mine went down. And so that's why they're included in this bill.
Lead Baker.
Mr. Chair, I understand that part of it. But the relationship between Cleveland Cliffs, is it? And is it North Shore Mining? Is that two separate companies that are going to receive unemployment insurance?
Chair Lissigard.
Mr. Chair, that is the same company.
Same company.
Cleveland Cliffs owns and operates four out of the six mines on the Iron Range. So Silver Bay or North Shore Mining is owned by Cleveland Cliffs.
Lead Baker.
Thank you. I just wanted to have that clarified on the record. Thank you very much.
Any more questions?
I just want to thank Representative Lissigard. I think this is a very important bill. Many of you at the table enjoy the North Shore, and if the North Shore in northern Minnesota is not stable, during the pandemic we saw the North Shore, everybody going north. But we live there, and we have to have jobs. We need mining jobs. And so I'm appreciative for the testimony. It is a spinoff for numerous businesses. It supports health care, everything else. So we make a living up there, and the mines are a part of what we do. So I encourage you to support this. Thank you for your testimony today.
Seeing no more questions, Chair Lissigard, any closing comments?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, committee members. It warms my heart to see the bipartisan support for people all across the state of Minnesota, but the Iron Range when we needed it most. I'd like to also thank the co-sponsors, Representative Scraba and Representative Igo also sponsored it. And it's just, it's not about party, it's about people. And that's what this bill is, and I truly appreciate your support. Thank you.
Okay, I will renew my motion. House File 27, as amended, be referred to the Ways and Means Committee. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed say nay. Motion carries. Mr. Chair, your bill's on its way to Ways and Means. All right, next on the agenda, we are on item 6. And so we will have our nonpartisan staff speak a little bit more about the jurisdiction of this committee.
Hello, Chair and members. Anna Shaleen, House Research again. And so we're going to start with a really brief overview of the subject matter covered by this committee, just so you have a little idea what might be coming up this year. As many of you may know, traditionally this has often been a single committee with the Economic Development Committee. This year we're splitting it up, and there has been a lot of questions about what is economic development versus what is workforce development. So the little rule of thumb is if we're helping workers get jobs, that's going to be covered by this committee, workforce development. If we're helping businesses create jobs, or helping local governments create more businesses and opportunities for business, or create more businesses, that's going to be economic development committee. And if you want to do a law about something involving someone already having a job, such as benefits, working hours, unions, that's probably going to end up in the labor committee. However, all of this is decided, you know, there aren't rules about this. It's all decided by leadership and chairs mutually deciding where things go. But we'll start with this first document. I've got three short documents to go through with you today. First one says policy purview. Workforce development, finance, state policy purview. These are the areas of statute that cover the topics that will probably come to this committee. The major one is we're going to deal a lot with the Department of Employment and Economic Development, or DEED. And they're going to come later and talk to you a lot more, right over there. but so the chapter of their law that we're going to be dealing with is Chapter 116L, which covers all the workforce development programs. So if you look in that area of the statute, you'll find out a lot more about the Workforce Development Fund, which is a special fund funded by an assessment on employers. It goes in and is used for the dislocated worker program, which in your packet you also have the dislocated worker program, a little two-pager, just sort of giving you some background if you want to read up on it later. But that's a large fund of money that's available to this committee to fund workforce development programs, because it funds both statutory competitive grant programs that you'll have lots of groups coming in to talk about, and the legislature makes direct appropriations from it to specific groups to do a specific kind of work, often a specific area or an industry or a certain population that isn't being served well by other programs. And so all of those fall under 116L and will be the main topic of this committee process. Also in the Workforce Development Committee are two chapters of law, 248 and 268A, that deal with vocational rehabilitation. This is state services for the blind and broader vocational rehabilitation programs. They serve people with disabilities, helping them attain employment. And then finally, the third major topic in this committee is going to be unemployment insurance, Chapter 268. Again, Marta James is our nonpartisan analyst for those bills, and she'll be making frequent guest appearances here. Otherwise, all these topics, if you have questions, you can come to me. I can draft bills for you. I can answer questions. Again, I've been here a while, and I've seen a lot of things. I'm very happy to be a resource and however I can be helpful. So that's broadly what we'll be covering. Another thing that might be helpful to you have in your packet, economic development, employment, and labor acronyms and nicknames. There are so many acronyms in this area. And this publication does cover also the Economic Development Committee and the Labor Committee. But again, just a good thing to keep in the save folder in your committee folder. So next time somebody's like, what is that alphabet soup? And just kind of sneak a look, I'll be like, oh, okay, that's what you're talking about. Those are the basic resources. That's what we'll be covering. And again, Deed will give you a lot more detail about their programs at a later point.
Ms. Singh.
Mr. Chair and members, I will be reviewing the document in your materials that's titled Legislative Accounts. On this document, there are two charts. I will review the first one, the top one, just to begin. This chart covers each division that we will cover in this committee in the Department of Employment and Economic Development. These divisions include employment and training programs, general support services, vocational rehabilitation, and services for the blind. The chart includes funding from the general fund for each fiscal year and for the workforce develop from the workforce development fund for each division. The bottom is a summary of total expenditures from the general fund and workforce development fund for this committee. Now, the bottom chart is an overview of the Workforce Development Fund. The top rows include revenue and balance forward from the previous year. And the bottom rows describe the spending from that fund. There is the dislocated worker program, and then spending from the for the Employment and Economic Development and the Department of Labor and Industry. A little bit about the Workforce Development Fund. This is funded through a 0.1% special assessment on all taxable wages up to $40,000 in fiscal year 23. The special assessment is subject to all the same requirements and collection procedures as the Minnesota Unemployment Insurance Program, and it is deposited into the Workforce Development Fund under Minnesota Statute 116L.20. The unspent balance from the prior year does not cancel to the general fund and is also available for use. Most of the spending of the legislature is direct appropriations to support workforce education and training programs to nonprofits. And finally, at the bottom of the chart is the budgetary balance of the Workforce Development Fund per fiscal year. Thank you.
Any questions from members? No questions? Deed Baker? Nada?
No.
All right. Well, seeing that there are no questions and nothing further on the agenda.
Well, Mr. Chair, I guess I wasn't sure if there was. You gave me an opportunity. I'm going to take
Deed Baker.
Thanks.
I always want to give you an
opportunity. Thank you. You are a good man. Actually, and this is maybe just for a little more background for a lot of our new members here, Mr. Chair, but we should have a. Just a sort of a high-level overview of the unemployment insurance and how the fund was refunded last session, and just to make sure that we know going forward that where is that all at? Is everything kind of back to even keel? And just to kind of give that sense too. I know that this seems like it's stable, but I just wanted to see if there was a comment we could have on that.
Lee Bigger, that's a great point. We are having Deed come in next week to present, okay. And we'll make sure that they cover
thank you.
That for you.
Fair enough. Yeah, okay, good. Thank you.
Yeah, that heard you.
Thank you.
All right, seeing nothing. Oh, Representative Hemmingson Yeager.
Probably a newbie question, but I see there's a thing for services for the blind. Do we have anything similar for deaf, blind, or hard of hearing?
I will refer to Ms. Shalene.
Chair and members, yes, there are services for deaf, blind, hard of hearing. Those are all covered under the vocational rehabilitation chapter.
Oh, cool.
So there's just a specific, for historical reasons, there's a specific agency for state services for the blind. Disability services in general are covered under vocational rehabilitation.
Thank you.
All right, seeing nothing further, the House Workforce Development Committee is adjourned.